It's a difficult time to be a Catholic. We've got a lot of priests and a lot of bishops who are fully signed on to the Marxist socialist class race war that we are being baited into. You see, the weakness, the greatest weakness of America is being exploited right now, and that is that we are traditionally, historically, a melting pot of all different nationalities and races spread from all over the world. We have embraced all of that here in America. So the communists and the socialists and the Marxists and the atheists, they realize that this distinction and difference within our community, within our nation, is the Achilles heel that they're going to manipulate. Thank you for the super hearts and the super chats. This is what they're going to do. This is what they have been doing. And what's sad is that instead of embracing the vision of the last book of the Bible, Revelation, it's not Revelations. Don't put the plural on there. That's cringy. If you say the book of Revelations, that's not what it's called. It's the book of Revelation or the Apocalypse. That's the old Greek name for it, the Apocalypse. Also, you see that in Latin, the Apocalypse. In the Apocalypse, in Revelation, we see that Christ, our Lord, Jesus Christ, he unites, it says, every tribe, tongue, and nation through his sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God. All tribes, tongues, and nations are able to come together through Christ and find peace and harmony. That is the vision that we Christians have. That is the Catholic vision of the world. You go back in time and you see all kinds of people fighting themselves. The Gauls, the Normans, the Franks, the Greeks, so on and so forth. And they fight and fight and fight. But what begins to bring them together and create Christendom is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, because he became man and entered into the human condition, he's able to unite all of mankind through his incarnation, by giving us grace, by redeeming us of our sins. All this is true. But unfortunately, these distinctions of tribe, tongue, nation, race, etc., are being manipulated by the enemies of Christ, the atheists, the Marxists, and the socialists. And what they're doing is they're dividing us and baiting us over these distinctions that we have in America. There's been a major infiltration over the past 100 years. I say it began about 200 years ago. I have documented this in my book, Infiltration. Yeah, people out there say, oh, it's conspiracy theory. Marshall went crazy. It's not. Every month that goes by since this book came out confirms the thesis of this book. What is the thesis of this book? That the destruction of Catholicism and the Catholic Church, which will never happen because the gates of hell will never prevail, but the attempted destruction upon the church is an inside job. That's what the subtitle is, The Plot to Destroy the Church from Within. Goes back, it's the Judas Iscariot principle. Those who hurt Christ the most are the ones that are close to Christ, like Judas Iscariot. Who were the great heretics? They were all Catholic priests, bishops, Arius, Nestorius, Eutyches, Martin Luther. They're all priests. The betrayals of Christ in the Catholic Church are always inside jobs. They're infiltrations. And what we're seeing in 2020 is another infiltration that's been going on for decades and decades. So you can see men who wear the collar and wear a cross around their neck, and they endorse platforms that are pro-abortion, pro-LMNOP. You see this on my face right now? Look at that. That's Bishop Seitz. He's a Texas bishop. He's kneeling in the grass, promoting an organization that is pro-abortion, pro-LMNOP, anti-nuclear family, anti-fathers in the home, atheistic, anti-Christianity, and communistic. He's kneeling in the grass promoting that organization. And today, a video came out on Twitter of something that happened in New York City. And I'm going to play this video and give some commentary. It's a priest leading a pledge during Mass. I presume it's during Mass. He's at the altar. He has a chasuble on. There's a congregation present. So I'm assuming this is Mass. He's leading a congregation. And again, I guess the assumption here is that everyone there is white, because it doesn't make sense for people who aren't white to be saying the things that he's saying. But he's leading them in a pledge that sounds very much like the kind of things that BLM get us to say. Or you've seen these videos on social media where people come into restaurants and they say, raise your fist and affirm our agenda. Affirm, you must say Black Lives Matter. If you don't say it, we're going to harass you. We're going to fight you. We're going to cuss you. We're going to humiliate you. And now we're having it in the church, similar thing. I'm going to play the clip. Maybe you think I'm overplaying it. And some of the things the priest says are fair and are good, and I'm going to commend those. But it seems to me that the liturgy in New York City, Cardinal Dolan, if you're watching, the liturgy in New York City is being used to push a certain agenda that is not found in the Bible, not found in sacred tradition, and not found in the Catholic Church. And that concerns me. Concerns me a lot. All right, I'm going to play this video now, embedded. Hang with me here. All right, here it is. Make some of this stuff a little smaller. Okay, here we go. Hopefully I can find it. Ah, here it is. Watch again, please.
Do you support racial justice, equity, and compassion in human relations? Yes. Do you affirm that white privilege is unfair and harmful to those who have it and to those who do not? Yes. Do you affirm that white
privilege... So here he's asking us to affirm white privilege and to renounce it. Again, I don't want anyone to hire me or to privilege me because my skin is this color. That's dumb. That's evil. That's stupid. But again, this is an agenda that's being pushed by the Democratic Party, by communists, by socialists to divide us. Why is this being used in the liturgy? Continuing on.
Which is unfair and harmful to those who have it and to those who do not. Yes. Do you affirm that white privilege and the culture of white supremacy must be dismantled where it is present? Yes.
Here's another reason why I'm concerned. Look who is being privileged here on the altars of the Catholic Church. Victims of crime, agreed, bad, evil. I condemn it thoroughly. But another thing we need to remember as Catholics is when you're canonized a Catholic saint, all right, let's take St. Maximilian Kolbe. When St. Maximilian Kolbe is canonized a saint, that's called being raised to the altars. That's the phrase that we use in the Catholic Church. He's raised to the altars. What does that mean? We can now place images, icon statues of Maximilian Kolbe on altars. We can dedicate altars to Maximilian Kolbe. We can name churches St. Maximilian Kolbe Church. And we have masses in honor of St. Maximilian Kolbe and prayers through the intercession of St. Maximilian Kolbe. So it's being raised to the altar. But yet here's the problem, is that people who are not even Catholic, who didn't die in the name of Christ, again, their crime, their death was criminal and unjust. But to equate them with Catholic martyrs and Catholic saints and to place them on the altar, I find that questionable. It seems to me that politics, a certain brand of politics, is being placed upon the altar, being brought into the church and erected in the church. That's a problem. All right, I'm going to continue playing.
White supremacy must be dismantled where it is present. Yes. Do you support racial equity, justice, and liberation for every person? Yes. Do you affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person? Yes. Therefore, from this day forward, will you strive to understand more deeply the injustice and suffering white privilege and white supremacy cause? Yes. Will you commit to help transform our church culture to one that is actively engaged in seeking racial justice and equity for all, for everyone? Yes. Will you make a greater effort to treat all people with the same respect you expect to receive? Yes. Will you commit to developing the courage to live your beliefs and values of racial justice and equality? Yes. Will you strive to eliminate racial prejudice from your thoughts and actions so that you can better promote the racial justice efforts of our church? Yes. Will you renew and honor this pledge daily, knowing that our church and our community, our nation and our world will be better places because of our efforts? Yes. Let us pray.
All right, so there it is. So this happened at St. Xavier Catholic Church. It's in New York City. Do you affirm that white privilege is unfair? Will you commit to help transform our church culture, etc.? Okay, now this is going around social media. Some of the things he says are good. You know, will you treat others as you expect to be treated? Straight out of the gospel. Believe it with all my heart. Thank you, Father, for affirming that principle that Jesus Christ taught us. But laced throughout this pledge, prayer, vow thing, it was almost like exchanging of vows at a wedding. Or it kind of reminded me of the renewal baptismal vows that happens in the new rite at Easter. Laced within all of this was the presumption that we ourselves suffer and commit the sin of racial injustice, white supremacy. I'm not a white supremacist. No way. And that we are, in a way, exploiting our white privilege, and we need to just stop doing that. So this is a moral statement made from the altar of a Catholic church in New York City. I would ask you right now, if you went to Mass yesterday and this happened, what would you do? Would you walk out? Would you stay? Would you shout out something? What would you do? Because this is coming to a parish near you. This is the agenda. Again, I want to draw your attention to this picture of Mark Seitz. I just put it on my face so you'll look at it. Mark Seitz kneeling down, Black Lives Matter. After this picture was taken, Pope Francis in Rome saw this picture of Bishop Seitz and called him on his phone to thank him and to praise him for what he is doing. In other words, every bishop in America right now knows that if you get down on your knees and you hold up this sign, you might get a call from Pope Francis. You might become an archbishop. You could get a red hat and you could be a cardinal and hang out with Cardinal Supich and Cardinal Tobin all the time. You get to go to Rome. Get to go on, you know, right outside the Vatican, outside St. Anne's Gate, eat fancy Italian dinners and drink good wine and be a cardinal and get to vote for the next pope. All you have to do is kneel in the grass and hold this sign up and you send the message to Pope Francis, hey, I'm a company man. I am on board with the Marxist agenda in America that seeks to undermine the nuclear family, belief in God, natural marriage, and the sanctity of human life. How sad is that? How sad is that that we are here? How sad is it that people had to go to Mass yesterday and the priest made up a liturgy and asked them to make promises, vows, what's going on here? To affirm a certain political agenda. Imagine if it were flipped around. And I would be totally opposed to this, by the way. If the priest got up at the altar and says, I promise to resist all forms of illegal immigration and all these sort of things that were maybe aligned with the Republican platform. What if you were asked to make those kind of promises during Mass? No, the reason we have Mass is to worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to witness and be in the presence of the one and eternal sacrifice of Jesus Christ made present on the altar, and if we're in a state of grace and not mortal sin, to receive Holy Communion on our tongue. That's the point of Mass. That's why Catholics go to Mass, to pay our vows to God and to worship Him. This is why for hundreds of years, we had the good old traditional Latin Mass. The priest couldn't add or take anything away. It was a script. You say the black, you do the red, and then you're off the altar. Nobody cares how cute you are. Nobody cares about your jokes. Nobody cares, Father, about what you want to add before or after the gospel or at the beginning of the Mass. No one wants your parenthetical comments before communion. We are there for Jesus Christ. Stick to the script. This is why I attend the traditional Latin Mass and why I encourage everyone watching, 2,439 of you, to also attend the traditional Latin Mass or the Eastern liturgies. Because the new liturgy gives freedom to priests, whether they're good priests or bad priests, to interject and do what they want to do. I've talked about this before. They're like the DJs. You know, they can spin wag, they can bring in another record. You know, they're just sort of the Lord and Master of what's going on. No, the Lord and Master of the liturgy is Jesus Christ. And the church should have a set ironclad standard of what is supposed to happen in the Mass. And we do. It's called the traditional Latin Mass. It's even in Latin to make it even more difficult for the priest to ad lib and add his little jokes and silly comments along the way. Like, try doing that. Try to tell us the joke about your dog, Father, and do it in Latin. Not going to happen. People say to me, well, Taylor, wouldn't you like a traditional Latin Mass in English? Nope. I don't want a traditional Latin Mass in English. I want a traditional Latin Mass in the Latin. Because the Latin is the force field that surrounds the liturgy so it doesn't get manipulated, changed, ad-libbed, and I don't have to listen to Father lead me in a bunch of promises that are questionable before I come up to the altar to receive Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people listening right now don't go to traditional Latin Mass, and they like my channel, but they're like, yeah, Marshall kind of goes on about Latin Mass, communion on the tongue. It's important, people. It's important. Proverbs says, don't move the landmarks of your forefathers. This is a landmark. There's wisdom in how it has been done. We don't need to change it. We don't need four Eucharistic prayers. Because if there's four Eucharistic prayers, what if Pope Francis says, well, we need eight more Eucharistic prayers? Now we have 12 Eucharistic prayers. Well, if you have 12 Eucharistic prayers, why not have 20 Eucharistic prayers? And if you have penitential rite A, B, and C, why not throw on D and E? See the problem? Memorial acclamation. Well, this culture needs a different one, so let's add on four more. This thing is, you can't tame it. And it gives the impression to the priest and to the lay people over time, we can kind of make up our own liturgy. And that's a very horizontal understanding of Christianity. No, we come and put, historically, if you think of this mystically, we come to the foot of Christ, bleeding on the cross. Drops of blood are streaming down his legs and his feet onto the wood, into the ground. And we kneel there in the gravel before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And there with us is the Mother of God silently praying. She's not walking around as a Eucharistic minister or as a lector or as an altar girl. She is there with her heart 100% united to the heart of Jesus. We're there with John the Apostle, the great mystic, the most theological apostle of all the apostles. He's silent in prayer too. And we come there in penance and in humility, and we come to witness this great act of oblation and sacrifice. The priest is in persona Christi. He's in the person of Christ. So he better have dignity, and he better follow the script. As Father Zulstorff said, Father Z, look, say the black, do the red. Got one job. And what happens when priests don't do that? Oh, we saw this cutesy deacon. He decided, I'm going to baptize kids. We baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Rome says that is invalid. Now we have hundreds of people walking around Detroit who are not validly baptized. We had a priest who was not, because he was wrongly baptized, he received an invalid confirmation and an invalid ordination to the priesthood. He had to go back and get validly baptized, validly confirmed, and validly ordained because this cutesy deacon thought, I can go off the script. I'm smart. I'm with it. I'm groovy. You're not deacon, father, Monsignor, bishop, cardinal, even pope. Stick to the script. That's why we're Catholic. We're Catholic because Catholicism never, and I mean never, changes. Yes, there can be modifications in architecture. Even things over time in the liturgy have been modified and changed. Yes, of course. All traditionalists will agree with that. Even the structure of, say, the relationship of the archdiocese with the diocese, those things do change, of course. But when it comes to the dogma, when it comes to the doctrine, when it comes to the morality, those things never, and I mean never, ever, ever change. Because Christ deposited with the apostles the sacred deposit of faith. It contains every single precept of morality and doctrine in it. And that has to be handed down with apostolic succession or it's heresy. You see, that's the guarantee we have as Catholics. That with apostolic succession, that deposit perfectly must be handed down over and over. And when it's not, ring, 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 the alarm goes off and there's heresy trials and there's major theological debates and fights and ecumenical councils and condemnations and anathemas flung out. Read church history. That's how it happens. We live in a time right now when the smoke of Satan has entered the church. I didn't make that up. Paul VI did. Smoke of Satan has entered the church, but for some reason, 50 years later, the smoke alarms, someone took the batteries out. Smoke alarms aren't going off. It's a problem. So, what are you going to do when this comes to a parish near you? I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to accept it. I'm reminded of Nestorius, the infamous heretic who denied Mary was the mother of God. He was preaching on Christmas Day, and he said, we Catholics should not say mother of God. That's not good. We shouldn't say that. And a layman stood up in the liturgy and called him out in the sermon. So that's heresy. Mary is the mother of God. And then people all over the city of Constantinople began to rally and protest against the heresy of their bishop. If only we Catholics today had such faith, had such zeal for the Lord and for orthodoxy. All right, I'm going to close this up in prayer, and we're going to pray for all these priests, all these bishops, and we'll pray the Ave Maria, asking Our Lady to help us. And then we will pray the Glory Be, thanking God that we have a church. It's not going to go away. It's not going to be destroyed. The gates of hell will never, ever prevail. We will always have the faith. And unto the very end, we'll always have the sacrament. It's one of the marks of the church. But that doesn't mean along the way there's going to be some struggle, and there's going to be some fortitude. There's going to require some virtue, some manliness, some sacrifice, even some embarrassment as we fight for Christ and for what's true. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto. Sicut erat in principio, et nunc, et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Father, bless our church. Protect us through Christ our Lord. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. Have a blessed week. And if you like the video, please give it a thumbs up and like it. Please share it on Facebook. And subscribe if you're new. And hit the bell. You get notified every time I go live. And pray the rosary every single day. Watch the review I did on the new Fatima film that came out, and I talk quite a bit on the rosary in that review. I talk about what's good and bad in the new Fatima movie. I think it's mostly good, but there are some problems. So check that out and commit yourself to pray the rosary every single day. If you don't pray the rosary every day, you're not on the team. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless and